We have heard the Easter story already in our songs. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all tell us that Jesus is risen. And today we will hear the story again from Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him.' Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What a glorious story this is. Each year again, we try to imagine ourselves into the astonishment and joy of this amazing story. Easter is here, and we celebrate that our Lord Jesus, who died on the cross and was buried in a tomb, has risen again. He has conquered death, and the tomb is empty. On this day of days, how shall we respond? What are we to do? Maybe if we look at the women who came to the tomb, we might discover what we are to do. After all, throughout this year's season of Lent, as we traveled with Jesus through Holy Week, we often found ourselves identifying with the people around Jesus. We were among the crowd in Jerusalem shouting Hosanna, not comprehending that the man riding on a donkey isn't a military leader, but is the Son of God. We were among the religious leaders who twisted an authentic relationship with God into religious rituals that excluded the poor and foreigner, who kept asking Jesus to prove himself while secretly wanting to get rid of him. We were with Judas in betraying Jesus for financial gain, and with Peter in denying that we knew Jesus as our Lord. We were with Pilate and Barabbas and even the centurion at the cross. As we reflected on their experiences, we may have grappled with personal sin and shortcoming, wondering how we were like them, these people who were in the very presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the way to the cross. But after Jesus died and was laid in a tomb, Peter and the other disciples, the religious leaders, the crowd, Pilate, the centurion, they weren't around. And they are not present in the resurrection story. They are nowhere to be found. Who do we discover at the empty tomb? The women. The amazing women. They actually have been part of the story all along, but they've been in the background. Until this day, Resurrection Day, they are the first to discover the wondrous thing that has happened. Today, this Easter morning, let's join the women who have come to the tomb so early on a Sunday morning, and let's wonder together how we may be like them. Maybe they will show us how to respond, what we are to do with the news of Jesus rising from the dead. When Jesus started his ministry, there were so many people who were lost and hurting and diseased and troubled. What were they to do? They could come to Jesus for healing. So men and women flocked to Jesus asking for his help, and Jesus cured blindness, healed children, and cast out demons. One of the women who came to Jesus was Mary Magdalene, Mary from Magdala in Galilee. She had been plagued by evil spirits, and Jesus rescued her. The Chosen, a television series about the life of Jesus, presents a moving interpretation of how Jesus rescued Mary Magdalene from mental illness, from her demons. And from then on, she became a close follower of Jesus. And she's mentioned 12 times in the Gospels, more than some of the other disciples. Luke 8 tells how the 12 traveled with Jesus. And it says, also some women who had been cured, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. It says these women were helping to support them out of their own means. It was what they could do. They could help Jesus. They could buy and prepare meals, find places to stay, mend his garments, take care of his needs. In this way, they supported Jesus' ministry. And when Jesus decided it was time to go from Galilee to Jerusalem, these women who had been healed by Jesus, who learned at his feet, who supported his ministry, what were they to do? They followed Jesus, and they continued to support him, to stay with him through that holy week. They were likely part of the crowd who shouted Hosanna on that Palm Sunday when Jesus entered Jerusalem. One of the women anointed Jesus with perfume. Women like Mary and Martha hosted Jesus when he needed a place to stay during that holy week. And then, when Friday came, when the soldiers led Jesus away, what were they to do? They would follow Jesus to the hill of crucifixion. Along the way, as Jesus carried his cross, the women were there, wailing for him. And Luke tells us that Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children." And when the soldiers crucified Jesus, what else could they do? They stayed near the cross. We heard it in the Matthew 27 reading on Thursday evening. Many women were there, watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. These women stayed. Peter and the other disciples fled. But the women did not leave Jesus during his final hours. What else could they do? He was their friend. He was their Lord. And they would not leave. When evening approached, the body of Jesus was placed in a tomb, and a rock was rolled in front of it. And Mary Magdalene and the other women were there to see it. Then they went home. They prepared spices and perfume. But they rested on the Sabbath. What could they do but wait? I wonder how that waiting went for them. how deep their sorrow, how wide their despair. Did any of them remember what Jesus had told them about rising and have a glimmer of hope even on that dark Saturday? And if I had been with them during that week, I wonder what I would have done. I have sometimes wondered what choices I would make, what choices I would have made during the civil rights movement. Would I have walked the Edmund Pettus Bridge or spoken up for my black neighbors as some of my older friends have done? I've wondered how I would have handled living in the Netherlands during World War II. Would I have helped to protect the lives of my Jewish neighbors, even at the risk of my own, like some of my grandparents did? I wonder about Joan of Arc, one of my childhood heroes. Could I have had her courage in battle and her trust in God's grace, even to death? And I wonder whether I would have stayed with these women who followed Jesus. Maybe they weren't risking much. After all, at that time, women were rather overlooked, so maybe they did not feel in danger. We don't know. It's possible that even for the women to remain loyal to Jesus, devoted enough to follow him to the cross and to the tomb, it may have taken great courage, great faith. And of all the people around Jesus during that Holy Week, these women are the people in the story that I most wish I was like. I would want to do what they did. 2 long nights they waited, from sundown on Friday, all through Saturday, then another night. Did they even sleep? And now what could they do? Well, after the Sabbath, before it was even light, they go quickly to the tomb. They want to care for Jesus one last time. And when they arrive at the tomb, the ground quakes beneath their feet as a blazingly bright angel descends. The guards are so frightened they pass out. But the angel says to the women, "Fear not. Do not be afraid. Jesus is not here. Remember, remember he told you he would rise up, and he has risen. Hurry up, go and tell his disciples this message. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's going to Galilee, and he'll meet you there." And the women rush off, away from the useless tomb, with a mixture of terror and great delight. It says they are afraid yet filled with joy. Afraid yet filled with joy. What's that like, to be delighted and fearful all at the same time? Maybe it's something like falling in love, or getting your dream job, or finding out you're pregnant. Those moments you await with hopeful expectation, and when they arrive, you're delighted, even ecstatic, and yet full of questions and even a little fear as you face an unknown future. Or maybe it's like when you move out of troubled times into better days, like the first days of sobriety, the first nights after escaping an abusive relationship, the first weeks of emigrating from your unstable homeland to a new country and culture. All those times that people might move out of pain and grief into hope and jubilation. Like the women who heard the news that Jesus is risen. As they scurry away, they are fearful and elated all at once. And then, suddenly, Jesus is there. Even more joy. And Jesus says simply, "Greetings." An ordinary, everyday kind of hello, though this is no ordinary day. And the women fall at his feet in joy and worship. And then Jesus gives them a message, similar to the words of the angel. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. When Jesus says this, we hear a message of forgiveness. The disciples who had deserted Jesus are forgiven. They'd abandoned him, but he does not abandon them. They have been restored. Jesus calls them brothers. And we remember this is the work Jesus came to do, to forgive and restore, to forgive and restore all God's people into right relationship with him. That is the power of the cross. Whether you've abandoned your friends or abandoned Jesus or failed someone at work or made a mess of your own life, Jesus offers forgiveness. And now, new life. Because Jesus conquered sin and death, we are set free from the past and have hope for the future. This is amazing news, friends. Jesus is alive. And Jesus will meet his brothers. They will see him too. So, what are the women to do? They had to go. They had to tell. They have good news to share. Jesus is risen. And their message goes out to the whole world. And now what about us? What are we to do? As we watch the women who came to the empty tomb, we see what they did. They went to Jesus for healing. They followed Jesus wherever he went. They took care of his needs. They stayed near the cross. And when the risen Lord met them, they did what Jesus told them. Go and tell. So we also can go to Jesus for healing and follow him. When we see others in need, we can take care of them in Jesus' name. We can stay near the cross and weep a while, and then discover the empty tomb. And when we meet the risen Lord, we can go and tell. This is our calling. And I'd like to share a story of a woman who recently has been living out that calling. I met Leslie Leyland Fields a few years ago at the Festival of the Faith and Writing. She's an author who also helps people write their own stories. During Lent, she was traveling, and she shared her experiences in a blog post titled Holy Week, Inside a Moldovan Prison and Other Sacred Spaces. This is what she wrote, part of what she wrote. Holy month. I have been in the air, on the sidewalks, in a Moldovan prison, a homeless ministry in Florida, a Ukrainian school, a French church, a Moldovan winery. And then she describes her visits with the hurting and holy people in all these places. And then she writes, and it is, I think of Jesus weaving his way to the cross. Weaving because along the way two blind men call out to him as he passed, and he turned and touched them whole. And the temple in Jerusalem will be filled with the sick, the mad, the disabled, the dying, and he leans, he stops, he rises, he turns and touches until everyone is healed. He's moving toward the place of the skull, where he will die a dreadful death, and he knows it, but there are desperate to heal along the way first. He will heal them twice, the first time with his touch, the next with his body staked against the tree. She writes, "I am one of the healed. So I follow him," which sometimes means a crisscross path across constant continents. For Angela and Luminita and Svetlana, it means driving 4 to 6 hours on winding roads to gather with a handful of eager women in a small village to share God's word, then driving all the way back in the dark. It means driving to the prison every week and meeting the women in the room of miracles. It's Tanya and Sandu helping Ukrainian families across the border. It's the staff at the homeless ministry in Florida pouring out their lives for people who don't even own a cup. She says it's just what Jesus said would happen. Hammered to the cross, he takes the words of Psalm 22 on his lips, beginning with a ragged lament, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then Leslie quotes the concluding words of Psalm 22. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people not yet born, he has done it. And she continues, Jesus has done it indeed. Because of him, 2,000 years later, each day around the world, tens of thousands with beautiful feet are doing it, walking a weaving path to bring good news to those who know only bad news. She says, friends, this is what he died for. This is what he rose from the grave for. So don't lose heart. Keep to the crisscross path. So many are dying to live. Love them and show them how. What can we do? We can bring good news to those who know only bad news. As she says, love the people and show them how to live. Hurting people are all around us. People who need to hear a word of forgiveness, the good news of resurrection, of love and new life, of hope and peace. People in our neighborhoods, at school, at work, people sitting near us today. Maybe even you yourself. If you are a person who is hurting or seeking meaning or waiting to hear some good news, please reach out and ask. You may talk with me or Pastor Joel or your elder or someone near you today. I hope that most of us who do believe in the good news of Easter, who believe that Jesus is indeed risen from the dead and brings new life, new hope, that we are ready to talk about it. Because we are encouraged by Paul's letter to the churches, to all who in their hearts revere Christ as Lord, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And do this with gentleness and respect, he wrote. What are we to do? Always be prepared. Be ready to talk about your reason for hope. We've got a gorgeous new addition right outside this sanctuary. And we anticipate that this will give us even more opportunities to share the love we have in Jesus Christ, to bring a hopeful word to those who are hurting, and to hear each other's stories of how the joy and peace of the living Lord are at work in our lives. Friends, when Jesus met those faithful women who had come to the empty tomb, he greeted them and received their worship. And then he commissioned them to go and tell the good news. And later he met the rest of his disciples on a mountain in Galilee, and he gave them the same mission. It's the mission he gives to all of us on this Easter Sunday and all the days to come. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them what I have taught you. And Jesus said, "Remember, I am with you always to the very end." Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh, living Christ, we praise you. On this glorious day, we worship you with gladness and joy. Remind us by your Spirit that love has won, death is conquered, and we live under your grace. As we sang, "In the power of Christ we stand." So, Lord, strengthen us by your Spirit. Equip us, move us, send us to go and tell this amazingly good news. Jesus is risen. Alleluia. Amen. And now let us respond with a song that reminds us that death's fearful sting has come to destroy. Go spread the news. Jesus is living. Alleluia. Let's rise in body and spirit.